All right, if you take your Bibles now and turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And we'll look at verse 11 this morning. Concerning the faith of Sarah. I've entitled this message, Perfect Faith. Perfect Faith and Personal Faith. Perfect and Personal Faith. Now, as we've studied in this passage recently, we've studied the faith of Abraham. We saw how Abraham, in verse 8, pictures every true believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 8 and 9. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Everyone who has faith in Christ is Abraham pictures all of us who believe in Christ. Everyone who has faith is called of God. No one has faith unless they are called of God and given a new nature. The Scripture tells us, our Lord Jesus says this, no man can come unto me except what the Father draw him. And those that are taught of God, what do? Christ said, they come unto me. They believe on me. This morning, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not because you were called? You were called of God to life. And you were called of God to believe. The Scripture tells us in Ephesians 2 that faith is a gift of God and not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. So we see that Abraham was called, and so are we. And what does this calling of God produce? It produces obedience. Abraham obeyed. Obeyed. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, leave your family, leave your kin, and go to a place that I'll show you. A land that I'll give you. A land that you have not seen. And Abraham, by faith, what? Obeyed. And this morning, you who believe, what are you doing? You are obeying. The Scripture tells us that obedience is simply this, to believe. To believe. Faith is not a one-time activity, is it? It's a constant, perpetual faith. And by faith, we obey the commandments of Christ. This is the commandment. This is His commandment. John tells us this, and I believe John, 1 John 3 and verse 23, this is His commandment. That you believe on Him, on the Son. And so with this commandment, we continually obey. We continually obey. He was called of God and he obeyed God. So does everyone. And listen, in verse 9, we learn that by faith he sojourned. This tells us that every believer, this is our rule of life. Our rule of life is this. The just shall live by law? No, by faith. The just shall live by faith. Abraham continually sojourned. How? By faith. This is the rule of the believer's life. Faith. Faith. And he looked for a kingdom. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Isn't that what we look for? I mean, isn't this our hope? Heaven is our hope, isn't it? It's our anticipation. He has, Jesus tells us, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This kingdom was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And that's what we look forward to, friends. We should be looking forward to His coming. I'll tell you this, Abraham was. He was looking forward to the coming of Christ. And so should we. And now then, the Holy Spirit now would turn our attention from Abraham to his wife. Look at verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. Now, what I want to focus here is this. I believe the Holy Spirit has this intention by pointing us to Sarah. I want you to notice this. In reading all of these Old Testament patriarchs, you know what's missing here? Their sin. When you read of their faith, you read none of their unbelief. Now, of all the people in the Old Testament, why in the world would he pick Sarah? Have you ever read the Old Testament account of Sarah? The Old Testament account of Sarah was not perfect, was it? It was not perfect. But in this text, the Lord here describes Sarah's faith as perfect. Listen, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because, listen, she judged him faithful who promised. Now, Abraham was promised of God that he should have a seed. You remember that? That in thy seed, the Word said, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. But you know what? Abraham didn't have any children. We read that Abraham had no seed. He had no son. When this promise was given, he had no children. He was 75 or plus years of age when he received this promise. 90, most likely, in that era. He was an old man. And his wife was an old woman. They both were past the time of natural conception. Had no seed. Her womb, and what made it even more impossible was this. All of Sarah's life, her womb was barren. Scripture tells us her womb could not produce life. It's unable to conceive. Yet Abraham did not look at Sarah's womb. He did not look at his own old age. Abraham's faith was strong. Abraham's faith was strong. He didn't consider his own age, his own time being past conception. We read of his faith being strong, but in the account of Genesis, I want you to say, I don't have time to go and reread all of this, but I want you, if you want to go back and look at this, I suggest you do it. We see that Sarah's faith in Genesis, as it is recorded, was not strong, but rather full of unbelief. Sarah's heart was full of unbelief. It was Sarah who convinced Abraham to go into his handmaid, wasn't it? It was Sarah who convinced Abraham, said, okay, the Lord promised you a seed. My womb is barren. Maybe we can help him out. You just go into my servant, Hagar, and you have a son by her. And they did. She thought by this she was fulfilling the promise of God. And one time our Lord Jesus Christ came incarnate, a pre-incarnate state. He came unto them and told Abraham again of that promise. After he had messed up, after he had sinned and went into Hagar, her servant, in unbelief, he told Abraham of the promise again. But what did Sarah do? The Scripture says this, she laughed. Now, Abraham laughed in joy. He was rejoicing. But the word there for Sarah in laughter was unbelief. She laughed at the promise of God in unbelief. And the Lord rebuked her. He said, why did you laugh? And you know what she said? I didn't laugh. Can you imagine that? I can, because I do it all the time. I mean, we do it all the time. We lie unto God, who knows all things, and we still do it. Wasn't me. No, it was you, And he said this, is there anything too hard for God? She laughed in unbelief. Is this not true of us? We so often hear of the promises of God. We often, like Sarah, try to help Him out. God promises this, that we are sanctified. And what do men try to do? They try to help out in sanctification. They try to help God sanctify them. No. You can't help God in your salvation in any part, friends. We try to help God out fulfilling His promises by carnal reasoning. Carnal reasoning. You know, listen to this. God chose a people, didn't He? Christ died for them and He will call them. And the means by which He will call them is what? Preaching. Yet what do men constantly try to do? We try to help God out by entertaining folks. Well, we want to keep them in the church so they can hear the gospel. So what do? We amuse them. People entertain them. They say, hey, what if we just put on a play? That sounds good, right? More people like plays. So if we just put the gospel in a play, surely that we can help God out. Oh, that's unbelief, isn't it? It is. Scripture says through the preaching of the gospel, this is the means. It's the only means that God has chosen to save His people. We hear of the blessings of God. We hear that all that we have in Christ. What do we have in Christ? We have perfect peace. Listen to this. He hath made peace. Now, how did He make peace? By the blood of His cross. So when was peace made? It was made at the cross, wasn't it? It was purposed in eternity, but made at the cross. And yet, do you always feel at peace with God? Does that change your peace? Did your sin somehow alter your peace with God? No. If peace came by your works, yes. But it doesn't come by works. It comes by the work of Christ. So what alters your peace? Nothing. Yet you feel you have no peace. We hear these promises of God and we laugh in unbelief. Redemption. You are perfectly redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sin has been forever removed from you. And what do? We laugh. Unbelief. You see how you and I can relate to Sarah? God promised her she'd have a seed. And she laughed in unbelief. How often do we laugh at the promises of God in unbelief and fear? We laugh in unbelief thinking God's arm is too short. Surely I've done it this time. Surely I've gone too far. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there any sin the blood that cannot cover? No. No. You are redeemed. You are perfect and accepted. And yet we sometimes, like Sarah, in unbelief, fail to believe in His promises. Yet we see this. In light of Scripture, because of the blood of Christ, because we are washed, because we have His righteousness and are clothed, God sees us as pure. I like this. Look at Song of Solomon. I'm not going to stay here, but look at this. Song of Solomon. Look at chapter 1. Song of Solomon chapter 1. Listen to what the bride says of herself. I am black, but beautiful. I am black but comely. I am black but comely. Is this not our confession? We not confess that by we see our sin, we see our nature, we see that we are black, that by we are darkness by nature. Yet because in faith we see this, we are made perfect in Christ, black but comely. But notice what the bridegroom says about the bride in verse 15. Behold, thou art fair. My love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. What is this saying? This is saying, look, you have dove's eyes. You know what dove's eyes means? It means faithfulness. When doves mate, they mate forever. They're faithful forever. He says this about you. You're faithful. That's what he says. Where's the mention of your blackness? Does he mention anything about your blackness? You do. I do. Does he? No, he doesn't. He sees where we see our sin and unbelief. God sees Christ's righteousness. God sees Christ's perfect faithfulness. Perfect faithfulness. Therefore rejoice, for in Christ, we are holy and without blame before God, even as He had chosen us to be in Christ before the world began. But in these last days has sent Christ our Savior to purge our sins. We were purposed to be pure. We were purposed to be holy by God's eternal counsel. But this was to be accomplished not by us, but by sending Christ into the world to accomplish this perfection. He sent Christ in these last days, our Savior, and He purged our sins. That's what He says in Hebrews chapter 1. He said this, by Himself, He purged our sin. Washed it completely away. Purged it, cut it off forever, redeemed us, reconciled us to God by His one offering. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews chapter 10? It says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down, because he was finished, he sat down, expecting something. He said, my enemy's going to be made my footstool. For He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those who are sanctified, He perfected forever. And then what happened? By grace in the Holy Spirit, He called us. He gave us life and faith in Christ. By His power, He came and made us meet. I like that. He made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. And you know this, you are qualified. You meet every requirement of God to accept, to receive His perfect inheritance. I know you don't feel that way. And surely I know this, we don't act that way. We long to. Don't you? Don't you long to act qualified? But your acting qualified didn't make you qualified. Christ made you qualified to receive the inheritance of the saints in light. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this in verse 21. He said, if so be you have heard of Him and you have been taught of Him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. Have you been taught of God? How do you know if you've been taught of God? Do you believe on Jesus Christ? Faith is the evidence How do we know Sarah was qualified? The Scripture tells us that she believed, she judged him faithful who promised. Do you judge him faithful? You see, I judge him faithful. I don't judge me faithful, I judge him faithful. I don't judge my works enough, I judge his works enough. We've been taught this of God. And what are we to do? Paul says, putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man. In other words, put off unbelief. Isn't that the behavior of the old man, unbelief? Put off the conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man. Put on the new man, which is after God, created. I like that. That sure explains a lot, doesn't it? This explains why you believe. Because God created something that wasn't there. He created a new nature by which you are capable of believing. Created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, we are constantly plagued with fears and doubts and unbelief and sin of the old man. The apostle says, put off that unbelief. You know, when the apostle says, put off the sin that easily besets us, you know, that sin is unbelief. I believe that's the root of any and every sin. Why do we lie? Unbelief. Why do we steal? Unbelief. It's rooted in every sin. He says, put off the behavior of the old man, but be renewed in the spirit of our mind by putting on the new behavior of the new man, which is not made after our nature, but made after the holy nature of God. This new behavior, this new nature is not made by our obedience to the law, but is the very nature and holy nature of God that is created in us. Paul said we are made partakers of Christ in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. You who believe, you are made partakers of Christ. Now what in the world does that mean? Partakers of Christ. One preacher wrote this: to be a partaker of Christ means that I share in His merits. I share in His merits. Sinful and wretched and vile and wicked though I am, I come to the fountain filled with blood and I am washed of it. I'm made white as snow. In the moment we believe, we are experimentally made holy. In the moment we believe, all of our sins are washed away. We become partakers of the Son of God. Partakers of Christ, and His merits are now my merits. That which Christ did as my substitute is actually mine. It's mine. When Adam was your federal head, all that was his became what? Yours. And when Christ, our federal head, came and died for our sins and secured our righteousness, all that He did became yours. That's the beauty of a federal head, isn't it? People don't like that. They don't like Adam to be a federal head. I'm glad for federal headship, aren't you? If you're in Christ, you should be exceedingly glad. Did Christ bear the wrath of God as my substitute? Where then is the wrath of God against me? It's gone. It's gone forever. Did Christ bear our sins in His own body on the tree? Did He not pay all the debt that we owed to God? Then where's the debt? It's gone. It's gone. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And since my debt has been paid, since in the person of my substitute, Jesus Christ, I have paid all that the law required. In Him, I paid everything. The law, listen, the law can demand nothing more of me. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. This is what we're commanded to preach. This is what we're commanded to preach to you. Comfort. I hope that what I'm preaching to you is comfortable. Isn't it comfortable, you who are in Christ? If you're outside of Christ, it's not comfortable. You don't have this. This is for God's people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her this. Her warfare is what? Finished. It's accomplished. It's done. Her warfare is accomplished. Tell her her iniquity is pardoned. Now, why in the world should I be able to tell you this? How could I tell you this? This is how I could tell you, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We are not going to get into heaven by the skin of our teeth. Did Christ get into heaven by the skin of His teeth? Did He eat by? Did He just do the bare minimum? No. No. Heaven opened and God said, sit on my throne. Why? You deserve it. You deserve it. You've earned it. The hymn writer wrote this, payment God cannot twice demand. First in my bleeding surety hand and then again at mine. See what faith receives? Faith that judges Him faithful. Who promised. What did He promise? He promised peace. He promised pardon. He promised payment. And so now that He's given this, being partakers of Christ, and His righteousness becomes ours. Not only does His blood wash us, cleanse us, make us acceptable, He gives us His own righteousness. This is what it is to be partakers of Christ, is to have His righteousness. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. I believe it's in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. It says that even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, that righteousness that Christ Himself earned as a man, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto and upon all them that, what? Believe. You believe? Then you are made partakers of Christ's righteousness. All that He has done as our representative, fulfilling the righteousness of the law, obeyed the law of God, fulfilling all righteousness. There is nothing which God in His law required that Christ has not done. Therefore, with His spotless garments on, I am holy as the Holy One. You see what faith is to receive? This is what faith receives. And faith judges Him as Sarah did. Faithful. Faithful. Therefore, we see that these believing brethren. Now then, go back to your text. Now then, I want you to see that's what faith sees. Through faith, Sarah. through faith Sarah. And again, this faith that Sarah received, though her faith in practice was imperfect, was actually unbelief. How does God describe it in our text? He describes it as perfect faith. Why? Because the faith that you have is given of God. It's given of God. Now, you and I know and confess that our faith is not what we want it to be. I thought about this hymn as I was preparing this. This hymn writer says, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any woe." Is that not a good prayer? Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. I long for a faith like that, don't you? When I judge my own faith, I tell you this, I judge it as, at best, unbelief. This is why we're not to have faith in our faith. Because your faith is prone to heights and depths, ups and downs, strength and weakness. But what we should rejoice in is this: God sees our faith as He saw the faith of our substitute. Now again, you're not going to see this. These are things that we must receive that we have not seen. Faith. Isn't that what faith is? Yes, it is. It's receiving these things that God has told us. He judges Sarah's faith perfect, even though in actuality her faith was not. Even though your faith is not perfect, yet look what God says of it. Why? It's His faith. It's His faith given to you. And the second point is this: true faith in Christ is personal. Look at this in verse 11 again. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Abraham believed God. He trusted in the promises of God. And the Scripture tells us it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, was Abraham's faith accounted to anyone else for righteousness? No, it was a picture of all of us, right? All of us who do believe. You that believe, your faith is accounted unto you for what? Righteousness. This is the evidence that we are righteous before God. Even our faith in Christ. And so it is for all the elect of the Father, redeemed of the Son, all those that are called of God, they will believe on Christ. Our Lord said that in John 6. I just read that to you a minute ago, John 6:44. "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. As the Scripture has said, they shall all be taught of God. And he that is called of God, taught of God, believeth or cometh to me." So if we've been taught of God, we come to Christ. But this faith of a believer in Christ, no matter how strong or how evident or how much it is used of God for the service of God, faith cannot be transmitted from one person to another, no matter the relationship or zeal. No matter how much I want you to believe, I cannot transmit my faith to you. You found that to be true about your children? Have you not found that to be true? What does it say in John chapter 1? "As many as received Him." How many is it? "As many as." "As many as received Him." You received Him? "To them and only them that receive Him gave He the right to be called the sons of God." Now, how in the world did you, who were dead in sins, were capable of receiving Him? "Which were born," John says, "not of the will, not of blood. In other words, this new birth, which results in faith, is not of kinship. This is going on right now. They think just because their parents are Christians, that somehow their children are Christians. Where do you think infant baptism comes from? The idea that they want that child to believe. So what do? They try to perform a ceremony by which they transmit some kind of grace or faith to that child. By an act of their faith, that child receives some kind of gift of God. I want to say a bad word. That's bull. Anyone believes that, find it. You find it, and I'll start doing it. You'll find it in your creeds and in your confessions and in your traditions, but you won't find it in this book. Not one instance of it. Not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man. In other words, not by your will or not by the will of some other man. The whole Catholic Church is based on that by the faith of some other man, they can transmit some kind of grace to you. And yet the Word of God is absolutely, completely against that. Faith cannot be transmitted. You must personally believe on Jesus Christ or you will not be saved. As Abraham loved Sarah, who was his wife, though she was purposed of God to be the mother of Isaac and eventually the lineage of Christ, yet she herself must believe. And that's what the Spirit is transmitting here about faith in our text. Sarah also herself. Not just Abraham, but Sarah herself believed. I desire my children to be saved, and I want that more than anything. I want you to be saved. You want your children to be saved. Anybody doesn't? We want our children to believe. We would do anything in the world to get them to believe in Christ and be saved. That they should confess their sins and guilt and they should fall at the feet of Christ and plead for mercy. We want our friends, those around us, to come to Christ, to believe on Him. How we desire for grace and power of God to give them life, that they should see Christ as all their salvation. But I know, no matter how much I want them to believe, I will never give them faith. I cannot transmit my faith to them. Faith nowhere in Scripture is transmitted from one person to another, nor can one's faith be counted for another's. In other words, that righteousness of God that's imputed and imparted to me, I cannot transmit that to any of you. And you cannot transmit it to anyone else. It's personal. Look at Galatians 2. Look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 16. Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, how is a man then justified? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. How are you justified? You are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is the only way faith is transmitted. It is from Christ to you. That's the only thing in Scripture that gives us transmission of faith, is Christ. The faith of Christ provides what? Justification. And then what? even we believed in Jesus Christ. You see, He wrought our justification, and by that He gave us faith by which we were justified experimentally. Even we believe in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You see, where's the object of your faith and justification? My object is not in my faith, but in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's how I know I'm justified, by His faith. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Look at verse chapter 3 and verse 22 of Galatians. It says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Now why would it do that? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. The promise by the faith of Jesus Christ. What is the promise? Pardon, peace, righteousness, justification. That's the promise. How did it come? By the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them who what? Believe. You believe. Go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. But we are, Paul says, I count all things but loss, that I desire to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. What kind of righteousness do you want, Paul? He said, but I want the righteousness that is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness of God that was merited by the faith of Christ. The righteousness of God which is by faith. We receive that righteousness by faith. The faith of Christ obtained our righteousness, redemption. But God also purposed that all those that He chose and all those that Christ died for, that all of them should believe personally. The Scripture says in Acts 13, as many as were ordained to eternal life, what? Believed. You see, that's the only place where faith is transferred, when God transfers it from His Son and gives it to you. That's the only place faith is transferred. So just as much as Christ was ordained to obtain our salvation by His merits and His faith, even so we were ordained of God to receive this salvation through our own faith, through belief. Faith is personal, friends. You must believe. You must. Listen to me, sinner. No one will believe for you. No one can believe for you. You must believe. Faith is personal. Scripture says in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, if you will not come to God by Jesus Christ, if you will not believe on Him alone, if you will not forsake your righteousness and your works religion, so that you may win Christ and be found in Him having His righteousness, if you will not believe on His blood as all your atonement, listen, it's your own fault. If you go to hell, it will be your fault. You will have no one to blame but you. He that believeth not shall be what? Damned. Sarah is a good picture of us by nature. She was what? Barren. She was empty of life. She could not receive life. But God, in His rich mercy, if He will give you life and strength What will you do? You will receive Him. As Sarah's womb was given life, she received the seed of her husband. And what was made? Life. If God peradventure give you a new nature, you can do nothing but receive Christ. Christ to us is not an option, is He? We don't present Christ and say, you know, well, here He is, take Him or leave Him. No, He's not an option to us. He's a necessity. I must have Him. Is that how you see things? I must have Him. Can you do anything else but believe? I believe. I cannot believe for you. But I believe. What do I believe? I believe He is faithful. I judge Him faithful, that He has accomplished all my righteousness, my redemption, my sanctification. He's all my wisdom. He's everything to me. Faith. That's what faith is. Is my faith perfect? In my eyes, it's not. In my experience, it's not. But my hope is this. Before the eyes of God, it is. It's only through the substitute. It's only through Christ that God can see me this way. And I'm so thankful that He has given me faith in Christ. Thinking about a friend of mine a long time ago. He said, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more than just faith in Christ. And he went seeking for that. You know what he found? He found religion. Religion, they offer a lot more. I don't want any more. I don't need any more. Christ is enough. Is enough. What evidence do we have that Christ is mine? Do you believe on the Son of God? I don't know if my faith is real. Listen, faith worketh by love. Do you love Him? Do you love His Word? Do you love His people? If you do, that's evidence that your faith is real. And the evidence you have His righteousness is that you believe on Him. And we place none of our trust in our faith or our love, but in Him. In Him. So faith then, according to the Word of God, Sarah also believed. Though her faith and practice was imperfect, God says it was. And she believed herself. So faith is not only perfect, it's personal. You must believe yourself. Do you believe yourself? If you do not believe, why? Why would you not believe God? You believe every other crackpot. Why would you not believe God? Would God give you grace to believe now? And when you believe now. And you believe now. I believe right now. If I've never believed before, I believe now. And now. Now. All the way till He takes me home. pray God would comfort you with this. Oh, for faith would not shrink. I pray God will bless this. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.